Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 11.
Humans like to think dogs have superior noses. Since a dog's automatic response is to taste everything it finds, including dead bodies and feces, how helpful is this anyway? Perhaps police dogs are trained to keep their tongues rolled up, but for the rest of them, it's just one giant lick fest.
Ew.
In their stinky, I want to kiss your butt kind of way, dogs have a reputation as being good navigators. These bathroom breath creatures like to serve as trackers because it gives them one more way to pander to humans. Sad. Here's something I'll bet you didn't know. Cats are much better at exploring new terrain than dogs. But unlike dogs, we only share this information when it suits our needs. In the interests of scoring a little tale, the time had come for me to reveal my geographic knowledge of this part of Utah. Harriet was getting tired of our long-distance relationship and insisted I get off my, quote, rolling ball of striped blubber and start spending some time at her place. For the record, not all felines are as spry as Harriet. However, I'll admit to getting a little too comfortable letting her romp over to meet me, usually at Legacy Grove, though we did spend a few nights together at Gecko's Gulch. On those occasions, all we did was sleep together, since Harriet was too pooped to do much else following the long trip. Brandon has developed quite an obsession with Juniper Hollow, the place where Harriet hangs around waiting for Evangeline to appear like a ghostly aberration. If I don't start turning up there on a regular basis, Harriet is going to dump my sorry ass. I was finally ready to show Brandon the shortcut to the place he most wants to see. I can't take responsibility if this gets him in trouble. Brandon is practically begging for it. Since humans refuse to listen to what I have to say, I literally had to show Brandon and his pal Taj the quick route to Juniper Hollow. Fletcher's sneak isn't big enough to drive an ATV through, but it cuts several miles off the trip, so I knew they'd go for it, especially since it meant they didn't have to access the property from the main entrance where they might be discovered by the twiddle jerks from Zion Flats who ooze around looking for teenage boys to terrorize.
Chapter 11. Brandon Spinkle.
Ever since my mom turned into a total fame oinker, I've wanted to enroll myself in the Witness Protection Program. Thankfully, the area around Naval has become the perfect place to lay low. The landscape is so Kryptonian. It's got a supernatural feel that's hard to describe. I never get tired of cruising around on my ATV like a dweeby tourist. The orange trees are really fly, especially when they're blooming. I like how they stand out against the Red Rock Mountains. Gecko's Gulch is very Arabian Nights, but I like Legacy Grove better, especially since there aren't any crabby polygamists running around. Taj and I spend a lot of time at Legacy Grove helping Blue with the house remodel. She's hired some guys from Naval to do the hard stuff, so we're usually stuck hauling off garbage or cleaning up the orchard. I don't mind. I've been hooked on this place ever since Blue hosted her kooky cleansing ceremony the day after Halloween. Blue isn't the only one good at theatrics. My dad may be a professional-grade rump ranger, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to putting on a show. I'm not just talking about all the lasers and special effects he uses on stage with the rectal surgeons. My dad is an expert at illusions in general. Take Halloween. Even before we knew Dad was recording love songs like Be My Figgy Pudding, he was putting together Halloween costumes that wardrobe designers in Hollywood would kill for. Last Halloween, we dressed like the Addams Family. I went along with this dorky idea as a favor to Dad. He had this twisted fantasy about being Gomez so he could kiss Blue's arm all night while she posed as Morticia. Ew. It's so gross to watch your dad drool all over someone, even if she's cute like Blue. To be nice, I agreed to be Pugsley. I gotta hand it to Dad. The costume he put together for me really rocked. I had this grotesque fat suit with a striped t-shirt that didn't quite cover the whole thing, so people could get all wormed out by my fake blubber. My makeup was the best. Butt white with charcoal-colored circles around my eyes and jet black lipstick. Lexi, my little sis, had the same death look paired up with pigtails and a black dress to be Wednesday Addams. I was thinking about what a blast we had last Halloween when I saw Evangeline drift across the courtyard at Gecko's Gulch. Coincidence? Maybe not. Without even trying, Evangeline comes off as a dead ringer for Wednesday Addams, right down to her dreary dress, only Evangeline's is way uglier. I normally would have been eked out by Evangeline. Then I saw Orinda, the hairy Sasquatch from Zion Flats, pounding the snot out of her one day. What kind of monster beats up on a little kid? I smashed our flat screen TV the night those sleazy pictures of my mom showed up on Facebook, and I didn't even get grounded. What really scorched my scalp was finding out Orinda is the sister of Nephi Stratton, the turd sandwich who calls himself the prophet of Zion Flats. This slimy chode is the one who pretty much cost me my relationship with Isla Ray, who just by her bad luck is Nephi's daughter. When Isla Ray was 14, Nephi tried to force her to marry some skeevy dude who's older than my grandpa. I'm not sure how it all went down, but Moon helped Isla Ray get out of marrying this 10-pound sack of steaming crap, but not until after Nephi had beaten her to a bloody pulp. I learned that one night when I was making out with Isla Ray in a poolside bungalow at Diamonds in the Desert Casino. We were in a private area that only the owner's family has access to. The bungalows have a cloth flap that you can close for a little privacy, which this occasion definitely called for. Things had heated up to the point where we both had our shirts off. That's when I came across the scars. They felt like jungle vines growing underneath Isla Ray's skin. There must have been a dozen of them. I shifted my position so I could see them in the moonlight. They looked like thick, pink gummy worms glued to her back. Isla Ray didn't cry when she told me what happened, but I did later on when I told the story to Taj. The whole thing was sick and disgusting. I've heard Moon use the term, the indestructible Isla Ray. Wrong. Isla Ray was shattered like a glass ornament launched off a skyscraper. Just because Isla Ray lives in a casino and has maids at her beck and call instead of the other way around like it used to be, doesn't mean she's okay. Nephi Stratton and his band of green Gumbies made sure Isla Ray would carry those scars forever. Spending time anywhere in Utah is out of the question. Isla Ray would rather eat a lint-covered donut. That threw a kink into our relationship. Not that I want her to eat bearded pastries, but Southern Utah really kicks ass.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. In the mood for a killer audiobook? Quirky Killers by Adele Park is the story of a serial bride who sends her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Too bad the cops don't see the humor in this and arrest this woman who is just trying to make sure everyone gets to meet God. Quirky Killers. Get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
You know the expression? Cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
Thinking about how Nephi screwed things up for Isla Ray really rips my rudder. That's why I got so steamed when I saw his sister Orinda laying into Evangeline. Orinda treats Evangeline like a piece of nasty gum stuck to the bottom of her shoe. That's not to say Orinda isn't an equal opportunity bully. She's brutal to everyone. I'll never understand why Moon hired this woolly mammoth to be her cook at Gecko's Gulch. Orinda is so bitter, even the food she cooks comes out tasting shiesty. I've noticed Evangeline hides behind the bushes when she eats. The little tyke is so skinny, you can almost see right through her. I am curious to know more about what happened the night Evangeline's mom died. Moon hires several women from Zion Flats to work at Good Karma, so she usually has the 411 on what's happening out there. I already knew Evangeline's mom, Rebecca, killed herself by jumping from the Widow's Walk at Juniper Hollow. Moon says the only reason they even found out about Rebecca was because Evangeline wandered off. She was picked up by a guy named Boyd Fletcher, a relative of Courtney Fletcher, the hottie I'm hoping to date this summer. When the cops went to investigate what happened, Orinda told them Rebecca was hooked on belladonna, a plant that causes crazy visions. Orinda said Rebecca thought she could fly and jumped off the Widow's Walk to prove it. Nicholas DeLuca, the guy Orinda and Rebecca were both married to, was nowhere in sight. They found some of his blood splashed around in the house at Juniper Hollow. Orinda claimed Nicholas cut himself while gutting fish. They never found his body. If Orinda bumped him off, there was no proof. Watching Orinda rough up little Evangeline made me determined not to let this stunt double for Harry and the Hendersons get away with murder. I thought, this hag bag needs to be locked up. So does her sleazy brother, Nephi. When I asked Moon why no one from Zion Flats ever gets arrested, she said that's the way things have always been. Nobody from that hellhole ever reports anything, and they never help when someone from the outside calls the police. Because the people in Naval are Mormons who believe polygamy should be practiced in heaven, they avoid causing trouble with the schmoes in Zion Flats. Moon says in the Book of Mormon, those who are most worthy will be sent to a place called the Celestial Kingdom. That's where the men in the group can have all the booty they want. When I asked if it worked both ways, meaning women could have more than one husband, Moon just laughed and said, "Silly rabbit, don't you know Mormonism is for men? I've decided it's time to take down Nephi Stratton. If the local county mounties are too stupid or too lazy to go after him, then I will. Someone needs to put an end to this modern-day Nazi. Nephi should pay for what he did to Isla Ray, Evangeline, and every other innocent girl who is unfortunate enough to be born in that crusty toilet called Zion Flats." Taj is with me on this, but mostly because he wants to burn Orinda. She's banned him from the kitchen, which is like stealing an oxygen tank from a gasping emphysema patient. The only reason Taj isn't choking for air is because he got a job at A Taste of Heaven Bakery. At first, I was pissed about Taj's job. He doesn't even need the money. Taj's parents give him a goddamn credit card while my dad only lets me have a measly 25 bucks a week. I stewed about it for a few days until I figured out a way to make my own cash. The idea came to me by accident. Not wanting to be stuck at Gecko's Gulch by myself on Fridays and Saturdays while Taj is working, I ride into town with him, even though we have to leave at the frickin' crack of dawn. I sleep in Randall's van until my skin starts to sizzle. After that, I head over to A Taste of Heaven Bakery. I plow through a few bear claws while I work on my plans to demolish Nephi Stratton. Right now, it mostly involves going to the library to read local accounts about what happened at Juniper Hollow. I can get most of this stuff online, but I'd rather be in Naval than out at Gecko's Gulch where Orinda can stare me down with her beady little python eyes. My strategy is to try and find out what happened to Nicholas DeLuca, Evangeline's dad. The Naval Weekly Banner says the blood in the kitchen at Juniper Hollow came from DeLuca, even though they never found his body. It's kind of hard to charge someone with murder without one. Knowing how second-rate the sheriff's department is around here, I had to wonder how hard they looked. I usually hang around the library until lunchtime. Taj is always too busy to leave the bakery, so I go on a sandwich run. To be polite, I started asking the ladies at the bakery if they wanted anything. All of them did. What surprised me was their offer to pay me to fetch their lunch. That got me thinking, why not see if anyone from the best little hair house in Naval needed a delivery service? I wasn't prepared for all the business I got. The first time I took lunch orders at the salon, I had to make 4 trips to Brother Enoch's Good Eats. It's so hot here, the drinks were all watered down by the time I got them to my customers. I needed a delivery rig, but I don't have my driver's license yet. Randall has a van large enough to hold a professional football team, so I started bringing my bike to Naval. I tried tying a box to the back rim of the bike to hold the drinks. Big mistake. Soda slopped all over. I forgot to wash it off, so the freaking ants had a field day. Then I got the brilliant idea to use the old child carrier Randall bought for his bike. It's pink and purple with a bunch of embarrassing girl stuff on it, but it holds plenty of sandwiches. I rigged up the drink box and was amazed when it actually worked. I felt like a doofus hauling that sissified thing behind my bike, but I was now earning more than Taj and working about half the time. It was so worth it. To get in front of any harassing comments about my ridiculous ride, I totally owned it, calling it my fast food gay sleigh. Taj and I plan to use our earnings to impress what we hope will soon be our girlfriends. I'm pretty sure I can score with Courtney. She's going to be a contestant in the Naval Days beauty pageant later this summer. Randall is in charge, so Courtney is always looking for reasons to cozy up to him. I've bumped into her several times at the best little hair house in Naval. She even placed an order once while Randall was streaking her hair. Taj's girlfriend might be a little harder to land. He's got this thing for a lifeguard at the Naval City Pool. Danica Creighton isn't ever going to make the swimsuit issue for Sports Illustrated. She's not a chubette or anything. It's just that she has this gimpy leg. Danica's got a real loopy way of walking. It's kind of hard to watch her. Taj gets all willied whenever he's around Danica. He better get over it quickly, though, so we can get on with our plans for a double date. Blue said she'd be our chauffeur if we did some work in the orchard at Legacy Grove. No problem. I actually like being out there. Plus, it's a lot closer to Juniper Hollow than Gecko's Gulch, especially now that we've discovered Fletcher's sneak. Blue gets all wrapped up in the remodeling job, so Taj and I spend our free time zipping around on the ATVs. We keep our old machines in the stone packing shed at Legacy Grove, and the new ones at Gecko's Gulch. Skitters yowls like a banshee if we don't take him to Legacy Grove, but he likes to hop in the ATV cargo bin whenever we get tired of raking debris and want to go exploring. Skitters was actually the one who discovered Fletcher's sneak. We had stopped so Taj could take a whiz. Skitters is pretty good about staying in the bin during obvious pit stops, but on this occasion he jumped out and took off. I got sick and tired of trying to find the little bugger. I was about to suggest we leave his striped ass when I heard him meow. It was hard to tell where the sound was coming from. All we could see were endless mounds of red hills. Then Taj spotted the opening. It wasn't big enough to get a vehicle through, but it was definitely wide enough for a human. The sneak is less than a mile long. It eventually leads to Juniper Hollow, close to the ridge with all the catacombs. It's hard to imagine so much violent stuff went down in a place as pretty as Juniper Hollow. Even the burned remains of the house look enchanted, with tall stems of the most brilliant purple flowers growing up through the powdery bricks that survived the fire. Unlike most of the area around here, Juniper Hollow has huge trees with lots of leaves. The air has a kind of green haze to it, especially around the lake. A gazebo sits in the middle, looking like something from Lord of the Rings. Even from the shore, I could see those same purple flowers winding around the open columns holding up the arch of the structure. Taj and I decided we would each do one last mega mission, both agreeing it should involve Juniper Hollow. I decided to tie my mega mission in with plans to steal Courtney Fletcher away from Kiefer Nichols. As soon as Moon and Randall leave on their 2-week vacation to California, I'm going to nab Randall's van, take it to Juniper Hollow, collect a bundle of those purple flowers, then drive to Naval and leave them on Courtney's doorstep. This is sure to mess with Kiefer's head. Courtney will think they're from him. Kiefer is such a cluck bucket, there's no way he'd make this kind of romantic gesture. Later, after I've caused a problem between those two, I'll ask Courtney if she got my flowers. If she acts happy about it, I'll invite her on our double date. If she doesn't, I'll ask out her best friend. I knew Taj would want his mega mission to involve swimming. He's already been in the lake at Juniper Hollow. I even took some pictures of him for his collection, but that's not the only place you can swim out there. The one thing that didn't burn when the house was torched was the baptism pool in the garden. It's less than 7 feet in both directions, but Taj said if he could do a full swim stroke, that would count. This will be the one time when being small will actually work for him. Taj's idea is to fill up the baptism font and swim across. The mission seemed a little wimpy, so Taj agreed to do it at the stroke of midnight. Once we get our mega missions out of the way, it's full steam ahead on the girl front. If I can get Courtney to be my girlfriend, maybe she'll take us up to her family's property on Granite Ridge. I heard there's a way to climb down to Juniper Hollow from there. Most news accounts say that's how Evangeline escaped. Now all I have to do is find her dad's body. If solving that mystery doesn't score an A on my American studies paper, then nothing ever will.
What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? Find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers. Get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Let's talk pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.